Hello, and welcome to In Conversation With, a podcast from the Lancet Healthy Longevity. It's March 2021, and I'm Jonathan Blott. This month, I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Jende Zelmans and Dr. Anna-Marie Leuk from the Erasmus University Medical Centre in Rotterdam, whose new research on the interaction between cognitive and brain reserve with frailty is published in our issue this month. First of all, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
So, what do we mean by cognitive and brain reserve? And please, could you describe how these are associated with mortality?
Yeah, so by cognitive and brain reserve, we actually refer to the fact that, for example, when you have two people in the clinic who both have a brain disease, so for example, Alzheimer's disease, one person will experience less cognitive decline than the other. So that refers to cognitive and brain reserve. And then cognitive reserve refers to the individual differences in the structure, in the function of the brain. And brain reserve refers to the individual differences in the structure of the brain. So with regard to mortality, previous studies found and we confirmed that a higher cognitive and brain reserve are associated with a lower risk of mortality.
So you used a novel proxy for cognitive reserve. Please, could you describe how this new proxy estimates cognitive reserve? And could you describe what led you to carry out this particular cohort study and what the aims of the study were?
Yeah, so we used a novel proxy for cognitive reserve, which was based on a structural equations model designed by Dr. Andrew Patkus and his colleagues. It estimates cognitive reserve as a latent variable that captures common variance across cognitive tests, while adjusting for age, sex, education, and MRI-inferred neuropathological factors. So previous research on cognitive reserve mostly uses educational attainment as a proxy for cognitive reserve. So, and not to say that our measure of cognitive reserve has no limitations, but educational attainment may be limited by the fact that it can be influenced by socio-demographic factors. So, for example, back in the days, it was less common for women to have had an education than for men. And another advantage of our measure of cognitive reserve over education is that it's quantitative and that it captures the dynamic nature of cognitive reserve, as opposed to only the highest level of achieved educational attainment. With dynamic, we mean that cognitive reserve may change over time. So, for example, your cognitive reserve may decrease over time when you get older. And what led us to carry out this particular cohort study was the fact that cognitive reserve and brain reserve were both previously associated with mortality, but the interaction of cognitive and brain reserve with frailty was unclear with regards to mortality. So there were only two previous studies which investigated the interaction between cognitive factors and frailty, and they specifically looked at the interaction between cognitive impairment and frailty in association with mortality. And they found contrasting results. So one found an interaction and the other found no interaction. And as cognitive reserve is a concept which is closely related to cognitive impairment, we thought that there might also be an interaction between cognitive reserve and frailty in association with mortality. So the aim of this study was therefore to investigate the associations of cognitive and brain reserve with mortality and the interaction of cognitive and brain reserve with frailty within these associations.
And in your study, what were your findings in regards to those associations? How did frailty interact with cognitive reserve and brain reserve in the association with mortality?
So in our study of 1,490 participants of the Rotterdam study, we found that cognitive reserve and frailty interact in the association with mortality, such that a higher cognitive reserve is associated with a lower risk of mortality in frail participants. We did not find the same interaction for brain reserve and frailty in the association with mortality. So more specifically, this means that frail participants with a high cognitive reserve had a significantly lower risk of mortality than frail participants with a low cognitive reserve. We did not find the same significant difference in the risk for mortality between frail participants with a high or a low brain reserve.
And what do your findings mean for research into frailty and aging and related preventative or therapeutic approaches?
So yes, I think our study can mean multiple things for prevention and treatment. I think it's important to realize that this study was set in the Rotterdam study, which is a large population-based study of the Erasmus University Medical Center in the Netherlands. and that therefore it was an unselected sample. So we're not just looking at clinical cases. So this might be particularly important for prevention approaches. Our research suggests that you might want to try these prevention approaches in specific vulnerable groups. So for instance, these people who are frail, you might want to pay specific attention to them for cognitive reserve. Additionally, I think it also shows that we shouldn't see risk factors solely as one factor affecting the disease. We should see them in context of each other, because we show that for cognitive reserve and frailty, that they actually interact in the risk to mortality. So I think this fits with the whole idea that we shouldn't see disease nor risk factors as solely individual, which we also see for multimorbidity, right? We know that a lot of people will suffer from multiple diseases at the time, so we should try and treat them combined. And I think that is the same for prevention, that we should look at them together. I think another thing that might come from our research is the suggestion to use cognitive reserve as an outcome in clinical trials as well. It can be seen as an earlier effect, and it might actually help us to understand dementia in clinical trials, because obviously it's difficult to have trials running so long that you have to wait for a diagnosis. So it could be an alternative to just cognitive measures as well.
And you've already touched on this slightly, but what are the next steps for future research into this area?
Yeah, so on the one hand, I think we should focus still on increasing our understanding of cognitive reserve, brain reserve, frailty, and how they interact. For instance, what are determinants for these factors? And are these shared common causes? Or actually, is it that cognitive reserve affects some factor that in turn affects frailty? So what is the mechanism underneath? I think that is part that we really need to understand before we can actually even go into developing new prevention approaches or new treatment approaches. But obviously, that would be another next thing, is that we can incorporate potential prevention or treatment approaches and test these in clinical trials. I think the other thing that we do really want to understand is this, because we now looked at mortality, which is obviously, well, a very broad outcome, but we don't know the pathway to mortality as well, right? It might be that these associations are actually specific for certain mortality due to certain kind of diseases. So maybe this is only related to mortality caused by neurodegenerative disease or something else. So I think that would be interesting. But also, potentially cognitive reserve and frailty do not only interact with mortality, but we also can see this potentially for neurodegenerative diseases, but also maybe something completely different, such as psychiatric diseases. So I think there's still a lot to do in this area to really increase our understanding of what is going on, but also how we can really use this information well to improve our prevention and treatment and really increase healthy life years.
You can read Dr. Zelman's and Dr. Luke's research online now at thelancet.com. Thank you to my guests, and thank you for listening to this episode of In Conversation With. Remember, you can subscribe to In Conversation With The Lancet Healthy Longevity wherever you usually get your podcasts.